Be honest with me. How many of you before the tournament started actually predicted Miami into the Final Four? I'll admit I didn't, but our next guest did, and I have the receipts to prove it.
You are Locked On Canes, your daily podcast on the Miami Hurricanes, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I am Alex Dono, your host, University of Miami alumnus, longtime South Florida sports radio vet, and contributor to allhurricanes.com. And thank you so much for making Locked On Canes your first and second listen of the day. We're available free wherever you get your podcasts and available free on YouTube. So we have Hoodie Girl back with us. Hoodie Girl, don't even say anything yet, because before we let you take your victory lap, in fact, you don't even have to take it because I can just show people. So the first time Hoodie Girl joined us, it was back on February 8th. This was long before the ACC tournament, long before the NCAA tournament. Listen to this prediction that Hoodie Girl made way back then.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I'll come back anytime you want. We'll talk more basketball after we make the Final Four.
Ah! Oh, your mouth to God's ears. She spoke it into existence, and she's back. And Miami's in the Final Four. Hoodie Girl, how you doing?
I'm in a very good mood this morning. A little stressed. It took a few hours to change some work plans around so I could make it to Houston on Saturday. But I'm about to go book all of that stuff as soon as we finish up here.
Oh, that is incredible. And it was pretty doggone incredible the way Miami was able to punch their ticket to the Final Four. I mentioned I did not believe enough in this team before the tournament started. I thought they could make a run, but I didn't know if they could make a Final Four type of run. And yeah, with about 14 minutes left in the game against Texas last night, when the Longhorns could not miss and they were up by 13, things weren't looking good for our Canes. I was losing hope even during the game yesterday. What was going through your mind when the Hurricanes were down by a baker's dozen in the second half and Norchad Omier was in foul trouble?
So much like you, I was also traveling during this game yesterday. So I got back to my apartment with about 4 minutes left in the game. And I was I knew we had been down. I didn't know how much, because I couldn't stream it from my phone because I was driving. Mm. So I kind of got like a couple of score checks in. So I was kind of nervous and I got back to my apartment and I was just like, maybe I shouldn't turn it on. Like if it's going to be bad luck if I turn it on. So literally, shout out to Edward on Twitter. He's actually a Clemson fan. He was messaging me score updates.
Wow.
I know him from Coop's channel. He was messaging me score updates. And I was like, I can't turn it on. I'm too nervous. I was literally just standing in front of a blank TV. And then I put it on, but I put it on channel 5. I'm like, I can't put it on CBS right now. I'm too nervous. It's going to be bad luck. I'm not going to put it on. So he's just messaging me how much time's left. He's like, the game's over. Do you want to know what happened? And I was like, give me a minute. Let me take it in for a second. And then I'm like, all right, count it down and tell me. So he types like 3, 2, 1. And then there's like a dramatic pause of like 8 seconds. Wow. And then he just typed the score and put Miami's going to the Final Four. And I flipped out. And then I went and rewatched the game. But I was so nervous. I couldn't even turn it on because I knew we had been down. Yeah. And I was like, it's going to be bad luck. I'm too superstitious. I'm not turning the game on right now.
I think the most incredible thing about this tournament run so far for Miami is they find so many different ways to win. Right, where against Houston in the round of 16, in the Sweet 16, Miami was shooting lights out from three, right? They hit 11 out of 25 three-point attempts, and Houston just couldn't stop their perimeter shooting. And then in this game against Texas,
2 of 8.
Yeah, it was non-existent. Oh, it's incredible. She came prepared.
2 of 8 from the field. The fact that we scored 88 against Texas and 89 against Houston, and we only made 2 threes in this game is insane. But the big difference in this game was our free throws. We were 28 of 32 from the line. Against Houston, we were 16 of 19.
Wow.
So we weren't shooting threes, but we were driving the ball a lot and getting to the line. And most importantly, we only missed 4 free throws.
Yeah, and I didn't even realize how impressive his performance was until people were giving me historical stats the next day. Jordan Miller. So I'm watching.
Listen, getting compared to Christian Laettner and the NCAA, I know he went to Duke, but getting that comparison is like the highest praise you can get for the Duke days of Christian Laettner.
Yeah, so Jordan Miller, he shot 7 for 7 from the floor and 13 of 13 from the free throw line. So obviously, I knew that's an amazing performance. I didn't realize until this morning that that hadn't been done in over 30 years when Christian Laettner had, you know, a stat line like that. So he did something that literally hasn't been done in decades. Is Jordan Miller
1992.
Unbelievable. 31 years. Is Jordan Miller, is he the glue that holds this team together?
Listen, Coach Al says it all the time. He's the most underrated player in America. Literally the most underrated player. I think he's the veteran leadership of this team. If you watch part of the game, I think when it gets to around maybe the 4 or 5 minute mark, when we're tied it and it's kind of going like back and forth where we're up one, they're up one, whatever, there's a point where like we get a rebound. And I think one of the players, I forgot who it was, wants to push it. And Miller gets the ball and it's just like, and he goes like this, like slow down. And he kind of gets everybody together. If you look, he's always the one that's wanting to get everybody to huddle up and talk before a free throw or before the next possession. He is the unspoken leader. I mean, he is the veteran leadership on the team. It's his last year eligibility, whatever. But he definitely, I think he's like the brain. He's kind of just like the compass and kind of just keeps everything together. But if you look, I mean, every player on that team is almost irreplaceable. They each kind of have their own little niche. But I was actually talking about this with some of my friends. Not having Norchad, I think he's the most irreplaceable player on the team. Because, like, if a guard goes down, obviously nobody can shoot like Nigel Pack does. He literally walks into the gym and can make it from the locker room. But there's nobody on the team that can replace Norchad's rebounding ability.
Well, and let's talk a little bit. Yeah.
Such a different team without him.
Let's talk about him a little bit, Melissa, because he was playing with 4 fouls for most of that second half. I mean, it's a minor miracle that he didn't foul out of that game. And he was
Did you watch the press conference after?
No.
Because Larrañaga said that he benched Omir towards the end of the first half because he only had 1 foul and he didn't want to get in foul trouble.
Right.
And I forget, someone said something about how like, oh, he has only 1 foul. Why take him out? Blah, blah, blah. And he's like, no, I want to have him for the second half. And
then I did hear that. Like, I did hear that.
I was right, because then he goes and picks up 2, 3, 4 and he put him back in with like 7 minutes to go.
Yeah.
And I thought at one point with like a minute left, I thought he fouled out because I thought they were going to call over the back, but then they called that the Texas player actually backed into him when Omir was already in the air. And I was just like,
thank God. Yeah. And if he had, you know, fouled out with 7, 8 minutes left in the game, I don't think Miami wins that game. So it was pretty incredible the way he was able to keep his composure, but he was still able to actively defend. I mean, he had that one incredible steal where he got all ball. And, you know, they showed like the super slow-mo replay. And by the way, those losers on CBS, they hate Miami so much. Like, they so badly wanted Texas to win. They're looking at everything like, oh, was that a foul? But even they had to admit it was clean, all ball for Omir.
They weren't as bad as the women's game versus Indiana.
Oh, yeah.
That was the most lopsided call. Even when what was it? I forget, but we went up or something happened. And, oh no, when Destiny Harden hit that shot to go up 2 with like 3 seconds remaining, you can hear the color commentators say, oh no, like in the background. I was like, really, bro? Like, could you be any more obvious that you're rooting for Indiana? But man, the women's game last night, man, that was hard. But LSU is such a good team. I mean, Destiny Harden got her mouth busted open. Like, what, I mean, they had like a 3% chance to make the Elite Eight when the tournament started. Like, bro, Katie Meyer's taking that team in such a great direction. I'm so excited. I hope the Cavender Twins come back next year.
Oh, me too. I hope so too. We're going to continue the hoops conversation, talk about historic runs, you're right, by both programs. Women got to the Elite Eight. Unfortunately, they couldn't make it through to the Final Four. The men's team does. Best run in program history for this Miami Hurricanes men's hoops team. Keep it locked right here to Locked On Canes. Guys, it's not just March Madness, it's also Built March Madness. And the Built March Madness bracket is here. We know you have a favorite bar or puff. Now's your time to make it count. Go to builtmarchmadness.com to vote for your favorites. You know, I've been voting all month long for the cookie dough chunk puff. That's my personal favorite. It's a hard choice because there's so many good ones. I love the mud pie bars as well. So if you want the Canes to win, you'll be voting for your favorite bar too. Support your team, support your bar or puff. And when you vote for your favorite bar or puff, you'll be entered into a drawing where 50 lucky Locked On listeners will win a free box of Built. Yeah, it's a good prize. An even better prize, one Locked On fan will win a 12-month subscription to Built to have Built's best bars or puffs delivered monthly straight to your door. You got to try Built. Built, the best protein bar ever. Seriously, they're so amazing. You're not going to think they're good for you. But what makes Built bars and puffs so good? Well, for starters, they're all high in protein, low in sugar, and covered in 100% real chocolate. Run to BuiltMarchMadness.com right now to vote for your favorite bar or puff and pick up a box while you're there. You could vote every day in March, so hop in and support your pick as I've been doing because I love me some Built bars. Hoodie Girl is with us, and Hoodie Girl, I know some people are listening to the audio-only version. Some of you are watching us on YouTube. You are wearing a new hoodie. Could you describe it for those listening?
It's a nice little orange and green striped hoodie. I mean, if I stand up a little bit, you can see. There you go. Canes wear edition, you know, who's saving it to bust it out at the right time. And I felt like for the Canes making the Final Four, got to bust out a new hoodie, took the tags off this morning to get ready for this podcast. So nice little U on the emblem on the sleeve right here, you know, nice, you know, sewed in, good stuff.
I love it. You know, we talked about Norchad Omier, Jordan Miller, how valuable they were. Let's talk a little bit about Isaiah Wong, because he was a huge part of the comeback as well. When he started really going in strong and making some contested shots and layups, he was one of the catalysts of that comeback late in the second half.
Oh, Jordan Miller?
No, Isaiah Wong.
Oh, Isaiah Wong. I was like, all right. Sorry, I was admiring my hoodie.
No, you're cool. It is a great hoodie.
No, I mean, Isaiah Wong has this knack to just like brush off a bad game or brush off a bad half and then come back and be the ACC player of the year that we know that he is. I mean, even the announcers couldn't like stop talking about like his body control when he's driving down the lane and then he just like makes this quick cut and like does like a 360 and goes and like insane. And then the step back was killing it in the second half. He's making some really nice step back floaters. Those were some nice shots. And I wish he could just be consistent. He was so bad versus Drake. And then like the Indiana game, ridiculous. And then the first half of is just like, is he gonna, where is he? Like, where is the Isaiah Wong that we know? And then the second half, just like, I don't know if he's got like the Space Jam secret juice or something. Like, cause he's got that like hiding in the locker room that he just like flips a switch, but I don't know what maybe credit to Coach L making those halftime adjustments. I don't know. But when Isaiah Wong is on, he's one of the best players in college basketball.
And Wuga Poplar as well, who's been so good in this tournament. And he had just an unbelievable shooting night last night, 6 for 7. He scored 16 points. You know, not only is he such a gifted scorer, but his defense has gotten a lot better this season as well. Like, I love watching Wuga.
His like just advancement through the season is insane. He played last year, but he was not a significant contributor last year. And I forget what interview it was, but somebody asked him about playing in the tournament and like playing in it last year. And he says something like, he's like, you know, I get a lot more playing time this year. He's a big part of our team. When he went down in our last game, he was like, I think he had already had like 6 rebounds or something and like 5 or 6 points. Like, he was like almost on his way to a triple double before he got injured. And a lot of people were worried he wasn't going to be able to play in this game in the Elite Eight game. The Sweet 16 game. Sorry.
Oh yeah. You
need to keep track of which games, because he didn't practice all week. Like, his first practice was like the day before our Sweet 16 game. But he's a huge difference. And his defense, like even through the season, has gotten significantly better. He just looks more nimble and just like turning and stuff. Him and Bensley Joseph are defensive like gems for us. So, and kudos to Bensley Joseph, because he got a lot more PT when Wuga went down in that game. So, but yeah, I mean, like, was it John Rossino always says, more guards than Shawshank?
Yeah, yes, that's right.
It's not a Miami dub unless John Rothstein is tweeting more guards than Shawshank.
Can we, let's take a moment to just appreciate Jim Larrañaga. You know, I talked about this a little bit with our national feed on Locked On last night, right after the game. Coach L doesn't really have a specific identity, which is, in his case, it's a good thing, right? Because, like, you know, you think about Syracuse and Boeheim all those years with their zone and, like, terms like the Princeton offense, like specific ways teams play. Coach L can adapt to anything, right? Because over the years, he's had big teams, small teams, fast teams, slow teams, really thin rotations in recent years that he's had to work with. Now, this team is small and very athletic.
Smaller.
Yeah. And he's
even smaller than last year.
Yeah, that's right. And but even more athletic than last year, which, yeah, I think is really the difference there. So, I mean, like, does Coach L even have, like, a trademark way that he coaches, or is he just an ultimate chameleon?
I mean, he just coaches winning basketball. I mean, if you look at it, our Sweet 16 run in 2013, which was actually most of the recruits from the previous staff. I mean, Coach L could put on a clinic. We were a big team. I know Shane Larkin was small, but I mean, our rotation was like Reggie Johnson, Julian Gamble, Kenny Kaji, Tanya Jakiri. Like, we had big guys in that team. And then obviously we had great guard play with Duran Scott and Shane Larkin. But, like, even last year, Wardenburg was our five.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we were small. And he even said at the beginning of this year that we're playing – last year we played small ball. This year we're playing smaller ball. Norchad Omir is 6'7", and he's playing our five. And because Omir was in foul trouble yesterday, Jordan Miller was covering their five. I mean, I know that their big man was out in Texas, but, like, their other five – Miller was playing defense on him most of the game. So, I mean, Texas actually started playing zone at one point, and, like, our team just adapted. L just knows how to make those adjustments. But I think Coach L is just a great coach. Like, he can adapt to anything, and he just adapts to the personnel that we have. So hopefully the football staff can take note and look how we adapt in basketball.
I heard that. So we're going to talk about what's to come this weekend. Final Four, first time in Miami Hurricanes program history. So keep it locked right here to Locked On Canes. And make sure you keep it locked to FanDuel. I mean, hey, we can keep wagering all through the Final Four, hopefully into the championship game. Because, yes, the tournament has been heating up. Now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Because new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. So you have nothing to lose on that first bet. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, super easy to use. And then you can bet on everything from the money line to point scorers, threes drained. Plus, FanDuel even lets you combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with a same game parlay. So do not miss your chance to get your no sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you sign up at FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Make every moment more with FanDuel. And thank you so much for making Locked On Canes your first listen today. Available free wherever you get your podcasts. Available free on YouTube. We're part of the awesome Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. So I'm so jealous. You're going to be going up to Houston for the Final Four. Obviously, UConn's going to be a tough game. They've all been tough. And the experts have been picking against Miami all along the way. I mean, Miami was
doing it.
Yeah, they were favored.
Don't pick us.
Miami was favored against Drake, but a lot of the experts were like, oh, this is going to be an upset, 12 over 5. You know, then they were underdogs against Indiana, big underdogs against Houston, underdogs against Texas. They're obviously underdogs coming up against UConn.
We've had the hardest road out of all of the teams. If you think about it with the 5 seed, we've literally had the hardest road a 5 seed could have through the tournament, because – the 12-5 matchup is always, like, upset alert. And then we had to beat the 4. Then we had to beat the 1. And Texas is the 2. So, literally, those are the highest seeds we could have faced in line. There were so many upsets throughout all of the brackets, literally, except ours.
Yeah, and Miami's ruined a lot of brackets, right? So, okay, what against UConn this weekend, what has to happen for the Canes to get that dub?
Wong needs to be Isaiah Wong. We can't have a half of him not being the ACC player of the year. He needs to be on. He needs to play like he did against Indiana. Jordan Miller just needs to keep being Jordan Miller. Norchad Omir needs to stay out of foul trouble. And Nigel Pack needs to shoot more threes.
Yeah.
And then the bench just needs to do what the bench has been doing. Wilga Popular just needs to keep being the diamond in the rough that he's been the entire year. And Bensley Joseph coming off the bench with the defense that he plays, and even and his three balls getting better. Harlan Beverly seems to get in a groove. Whoever comes in to relieve Norchad needs to just, you know, hold down those minutes, whether it's Casey or Walker, just hold down those minutes while Norchad's on the bench. UConn literally might be the hardest opponent we face the entire run through the tournament. Yeah. One of my friends joked that this is the real national championship game. Ooh. Because the FAU San Diego State game. They're like, oh, that's boring. Who cares? But hey, man, those Boca boys, I'm not going to lie, I would love to see a South Florida final. FAU versus Miami. I mean, the Boca boys versus the Miami boys. Let's go. Oh. That'd be that. I mean, FAU, that's pretty exciting. I mean, I live in South Florida too. So, I mean, that's good stuff. I'm excited. I hope we both win because that would be a lot of fun.
And that would piss off the establishment so much because, you know, like the Blue Bloods, they all want UConn to get in. Like they all, like, I guess like it doesn't matter as much what happens in the other game because San Diego State or FAU would be like a surprise finalist, but they all want UConn to be in it. Right.
Like, is UConn a Blue Blood though?
What?
Is UConn a Blue Blood?
I would say they're up there. Eh. I don't know. That's a good question.
Out of the four teams left. I guess out of the four teams left, maybe.
I don't know. You guys answer that for us here. If you you can tweet us, I'm at Locked On Canes. You can tweet Hoodie Girl at the Cooler Mel B. Is UConn a blue blood? I don't know. I consider that to be maybe I just don't know enough about college basketball, but UConn to me is always one of those darling teams and they've won titles. I consider them to be a blue blood. But you guys, if I'm wrong, let me know. But they are definitely the closest thing to a blue blood left.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's picking them to win at this point. I don't know if you've seen some of the tweets on, like the Final Four tweets and stuff. People are like, oh, this is boring. What a boring Final Four. And I was like, why do you guys want to see the same teams in the Final Four every year? This is – and I'm not just saying this because Miami's in it. This is the most exciting Final Four. You've got – three of the four teams have never been in the Final Four.
Right.
Like, so many upsets this year. It's exciting to see new blood. Like, it's like football. Like, who wants to see Bama and Clemson in the freaking championship game every single season? Or Georgia,
yeah,
or whoever.
Yeah, we got that for, like new blood. Years. Yeah, yeah.
I was like, is this what, like, the new college football playoff is going to be like when we have, like, the 12-team playoff where we're going to have these really fun upsets? Oh, like, I'm excited for it. Because people are like, oh, one of these teams are going to be considered the best team in basketball. Like, if FAU wins it, they're not the best team in basketball. And I'm like, well, then tell the best teams in basketball that they should have won. Like, I mean, this is what the tournament's all about, survive in advance. Like, you got to know how to play in March. Otherwise, you're not the best team in basketball.
I couldn't have said it better myself, so we'll end on that note. Fantastic stuff, as always. She promised us a Final Four, like, 2 months ago. Here we are. And Melissa's going to be headed up to Houston for the Final Four this weekend. So have a great time.
I tweeted at you as soon as that game ended. I said... Yeah. I was like, Dono, when am I coming on? Save that clip.
And we made it happen. And the clip was here. Hoodie Girl, follow her on Twitter at The Cooler Mel B. Follow me on Twitter. Follow our show on Twitter at Locked On Canes. We'll talk to you next time on another episode of Locked On Canes, part of the awesome Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.